18, correct? Is that right? Yep. Okay. Verse 1, "And Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now therefore, I pray you, this, take heed to yourself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will commune with my father of you, and in what I see, that I will tell you. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been to you were very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all of Israel. You saw it and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If you save not thy life tonight, tomorrow you shall be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, He is sick. And Saul sent messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said to Michal, Why have you deceived me so and sent away my enemy that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, He said to me, Let me go. Why should I kill you? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is in Naoth of Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again a third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Shechu, and he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, Is Saul also among the prophets? That's a good one. That's good stuff. Well, let's go back and look at this thing. Again, we have to realize that this chapter and this whole book of Samuel is being written to first fruit sons of God. And we're talking about something internal versus something external. These are analogies. These are parables that God set forth. They're patterns to show us what's going on inside of our life. So when all these turmoils are going on in our lives, guess what? We can come to the Word of God and find that same pattern so we can see peace in it, that it's not some devil doing something to me, it's God doing something for me. It brings great peace into our life when we understand it. As long as we think somebody's doing something to me, we're going to be angry and upset. But when somebody's doing something for me, I say, oh, okay, that's good. It's like somebody, if I'm walking down the street today and somebody runs by with me with a knife and slits my throat, I'm not going to be real happy about that, are you? But you know what? The doctor took a knife to my throat last year and slit my throat, and I was happy about it. You know why? Because I didn't go paralyzed. I can now walk and talk and use my hands good, which I wasn't able to do at that time. I was losing that. See? So there's a good one and bad one, the way you look at what was done. I even told my doctor when it was over with, I said, it's amazing that we come and pay you $50,000 to cut my throat when I could have got it done in my hometown for nothing. In Portsmouth, they would have slit my throat for nothing. You know? People around here don't care about me. They'd soon cut my throat and throw me in the ditch. And I go pay you for it. But see, but just sense of humor there a little bit, okay? Had good insurance. Thank God for that. Something else we have to look at. These chapters that we're dealing with, you know that men did divide these. These were written as letters continual, and they broke it out. So this chapter 18 that went prior to this was tied right together. And you could just read this on as part of the same thing. It wasn't anything different. This was going on. And let me back up and read a couple verses in this last chapter in 18, last few verses, so that we find the context setting up into what we're stepping into, okay? I'll start with about 28. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was in David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, or the presence of Christ. And Saul became Christ's adversary continually. See, the natural man, Saul, was what from what tribe? They called him, he was the tribe of Benjamin, but they called him an Edomite. Okay? And an Edomite is the same as an Adam. So the natural man is always the enemy of the spiritual, isn't he? And that's what he's setting up here. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth and came to pass, as often as they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. See, so when the Philistines came against him, he always acted himself very wisely. So when I get all these accusing thoughts coming at me, guess what? All these attacks out of the flesh. You have to act very wisely, more wisely than the servants of the flesh. So that his nature was exceedingly or highly esteemed. And when he saw this, being very afraid, we step into this next chapter in the first verse, and it says, and Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. Religion always hates something they can't control. If they're not in control, or they feel like someone has went to a higher realm than they do, they want to kill it. It's the natural instinct in humanity. When someone is superior, they're always trying to scratch and claw for the top. Just like they did with Moses, they tried to kill him. Same with Jesus, same with David. They're always trying to kill the ones that God has chosen. They've not accomplished their feats when they do what they do, but that's what they want to do, the natural man wants to do. But Jonathan, and Jonathan here represents the Holy Spirit. Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted in David, in Christ. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, that's the Edomite, my father, seeks to kill you. Now therefore I pray you, take heed or guard and protect yourself until the morning. In other words, as long as, remember this is something going on inside, forget about the external things for a while, okay? Through this teaching today, let's take it all inside. He said, protect yourself, guard yourself until the morning. How about this? Protect yourself until the day star rises in your heart, until Christ be formed in you. Hello? Paul says, I travail for you until Christ be formed in you. Right? So this is the pattern he's setting up. The Holy Spirit is saying, you take care of yourself until the day star, the Christ, the anointing, is raised up in you. He said, and abide in the secret place and hide yourself. Okay? Christ was the seed of God. that was placed within humanity thousands of years ago. And it's been in a hidden place for thousands of years. Is that not true? But you know what? Today is a day that God is calling that Christ out of people. It's been laying there dormant for all these times while things are going on. And I'll finish it in the rest of this chapter. But there's a time when God wants the seed to lay dormant so that it can absorb the moisture, the word, the anointing that it'll bring forth. When that light and that heat penetrates, here it comes. And it's all in the perfect timing of our Father, okay? He said, I'll go out and stand beside my Father in the field where you are. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Father, guess where they are? In this field that we are, correct? And they're standing side by side, they're one. And I will speak with my Father of you and see what I will. And what I see, I will tell you or announce to you. And Jonathan spoke of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, Let not the king sin against thy servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been to you were very good. Now, you remember when Moses was with God in the desert, and the people were sinning, doing all these evil things, God said, I think I'll just wipe them out. What did he say? No, don't do it. He said, no, take me first. Let me die for him. See, that's the Christ. This is what Jonathan is doing here, the same thing, being that mediator for us. For he did put his life, and that word life is not life, it's soul. He did put his soul in his hand and slew the Philistine. He took his soul life in his hand, his natural life he put in his hand. In other words, he said, he went out there and was willing to give his life to protect Israel, God's people, right? And the Lord wrought a great deliverance, not salvation, but a great deliverance for all of Israel. Notice who he had the deliverance for? It was for all, not for part, all of the children of Israel. And that represents all the children of God. And he's saying, and you saw it, Father, and you did rejoice. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? What's he saying? There's Christ ready to go to the cross, right? Innocent blood. Why do you want to slay him without cause? And Saul hearkened to the voice of Jonathan. And Saul swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be slain. Okay? And Jonathan, that's a natural man speaking. That sounded like Peter, didn't it? And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan explained to him all the things. The word thing here is the words. The word is dabar, the Hebrew word. The words. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as times passed. That kind of taking you back that circle again? Took him back to where he was at. And see, Jonathan, being the Holy Spirit, is the only one that's going to lead, guide, and direct you back to the Father, isn't he? And there was war again. The word again should be really continually. There was war continually. See, as long as David, the Christ, is hid secret in a secret place, and that secret place being your very most holy place, your spirit. And as long as Christ is hid in that position, there will be war continually. How can I stop myself, people say? You can't. Only Christ can. I can't stop what my natural mind says. When it tells me to do things, I can't stop it, but Christ can. And when I take everything captive to the obedience of Christ, guess what I can do? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Does it make sense to you? We've got to realize this Christ is hidden in a secret place in us. See? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Dwell or abide or dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Well, you know where God's shadow is? Under His feet, because the light is Him. And guess what? That's where we're standing, in Him. Oh man, it's a beautiful picture. when we understand what's going on in this understanding of God. The mind of Christ. The heart of the Father. Okay, where are we at here? 8. And there was war continually, and David went. The word out shouldn't be there. David went and fought with the Philistines. Now, you know why David fought with the Philistines? Because the Christ was hid in that secret place in him yet. And as long as we have Christ hidden in the secret place, we're not using him, are we? We're not thinking with the mind of Christ, are we? We're still thinking with the natural mind. That's why David was never permitted to enter into the kingdom of God. He couldn't build the tabernacle of God. Why? Because he was a bloody man. He was always at war. God said he's a man after my own heart, but he's a bloody man. He's always fought and killed. In the natural, David at times was the perfect example of what we should be, and other times he went and was the wrong example, the negative example, the natural man. And that's what he's showing you here. Here he becomes the natural man again. He went out and done battle. He was struggling in his own life who he really was in his early life. So he was listening to the natural man, the King Saul, the Edomite, the Adam man. He was listening to the wrong king, wasn't he? He had a king within him, just like each one of us have. And when we quit listening to that natural king, that church world, the Adam people, guess what we're going to listen to? The Christ within you. Then you'll be the man that will build the tabernacle of God. You'll be like Solomon, the son that came and built the tabernacle. Oh man, this is good stuff. And when he fought with the Philistines, the Desmites, in the mind, he slew them with a great slaughter and they fled from him. Something don't make sense here. When God sent the Israelites into the land, he said, slay everything. Man, woman, child, and beast. Get them all, didn't he? But look what David did. He fought with them continually, and he hit them with a great slaughter, and they fled. That didn't mean he got them all, did he? If anybody's fleeing, they didn't get killed, did they? See, he didn't do the whole job, did he? Just like when the Israelites took the land, they didn't kill everything they were supposed to, did they? They kept some of them. And every time they let some of those Philistines get away from them, those ites, they always come back and attack them again, didn't they? Kept the war going continually. And what we have to do is smite that enemy, that ite in our land, continually. Every time one pops up, smite it. Don't let it grow up to be a great big Babylonian. Smash its head against a rock while it's a baby. Get it. Get it early. Okay? And the evil spirit, oh boy, this is one that blows the church away. And the evil spirit from the Lord was in Saul, not upon him. And as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. Looky there, the natural man was sitting with a weapon of war in his hand. You know what the natural man in all of us does? It sits with a weapon of war in his hand. His works are always violent. Ready to protect themselves, ready to fight for everything. And he said, Jesus went as a mute lamb. He never protected himself, did he? He let himself be taken when it was Father's timing. But Saul the Edomite sat in his house, his dwelling place, with his weapon of war in his hand, and David did what? You know what the language really says there for played? He made music with his hands. That means he played the harp. See? David was at peace. Saul was at war. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Here was two things going on. David had the heart of God, but he was still listening to the natural Edomite, the Adam man, trying to reason between the two, trying to save the Adam man and Christ too. Guess what? Two can't occupy the same space at the same time, can they? How can they walk together? Amos 3 and 3. Okay. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with a javelin. There's the natural man, always wanting to slay the right thing. Kill it. Let me do what I want to do. It's an I world instead of a we world. I, me, my, and mine, the ego of man, always wants to destroy anyone in opposition to him. Bob, we've got people we sit and talk to at the restaurant over town, don't we? And when I say anything that contradicts what they say as far as things of scripturally, what do they want to do to me? They want to put me down. They want to laugh, mock, make fun, and slander, and try to do some way to slay me. And if they could literally get by with it, they'd probably just as soon put a bullet through my head. Just sharp words sticking all through you. See, that's what they want to do because it goes against what they have invested themselves into without knowing the truth. Tradition to them is much more important than the truth of God. Okay? But he slipped away. David slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin or thrust the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that what? Literally, adversity. The language says that adversity. He got away from that adversity. Now, Christ did something here. Christ avoided the adversity. Did he stand up and fight the king, the natural man? He just got away from it. There's a lot of wisdom sometimes in avoiding the adversity. We can stand up and say, I got a right to do what I want to do. Well, that may be. But that's still adversity, isn't it? You only do what your father tells you. The father don't tell you to do it, don't do it. So Saul sent messengers. This word for messengers here is the word malak, 4397. It's the same word that's translated when they get into the religious mood as angels. Now, who determines if they got horns or wings? Same word, Bob. Which one gets it? Are you feeling religious? Well, then you can put wings on it. Okay, it's just messengers. Same word as for angels.
What was that question?
I said this word is messengers, the word malak. It means messenger. It's the same word that they use to translate when they get real religious into the word angel. So which way is it used? Which one gets horns and which one gets the wings, you know? That's the way they understand it. Malak. M-A-L-A-K. It's 4397 in the Strong's in Hebrew. Okay? But he sent messengers to David's house. So Saul, being the Edomite, is literally here a type of the carnal mind. And he sent messengers to whose house? David being you, Christ, first fruit, he sent messengers to you. How about that?
Right.
Condemning messages of death coming from the carnal mind. It's what's going on within us. It's that carnal mind sending those distressful messages to us. Okay? And to slay him in the morning. They always want to slay him early. Okay? And Michael, huh?
Send them there in the morning, they'll think about
them
all day.
Yeah. And Michael, what does Michael's name mean? No, one like God. David means beloved God. Okay? Michael's one like God. David's wife told him, saying, if you save not your soul tonight, tomorrow you shall be slain. Now, who is Michael? I know that Michael was one like God, but we also have to remember that's a soul, isn't it? The female side. And you know what your soul is going to tell you? Run! Get away! Fear ministered to you. See? Didn't say she was God. She's one like God. Kind of like, you know. Not really, but kind of. Absolutely. She's saying get away from it. That's what the religious realm does. They tell you to get away from the pressure. Any pressure, it comes from the devil, right? Yeah, the pressure comes from your mind not believing what God said to you. If you believe what God said, you have no trouble. So Michael let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michael took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with cloth. Now you want to hear what that really says? Because it don't say what it says. These words don't mean anything to us. Michael took an image. You know what the word image means? The family idol. Hello. She took the family idol, one that they worshipped in their, a household idol that they all prayed before and worshipped before. Okay? Every house has got one or more. Okay? Same today as it was then. So something inside that we worship about, see, she used it as an image, okay? And laid it in his bed and put a pillow of goat's hair. And the goat's hair, the word goat's hair is a female goat's hair. Talking about the soulish realm. For his bolster. You know what his bolster means? His headpiece. Took goat's hair, and a female goat's hair, and put it in the bed, made it look like his hair in the bed, and had the idol in the bed covered up with clothing. She literally just dressed up an idol and made it look like a person. Laid it in the bed and said, "Now you can't come and see him because he's sick." Okay? Now, do you think that deception was of God? To use idols? Well, I'm going to say God used it, didn't he? He used it all. He wouldn't have recorded it if it wasn't wanted to be used. So inside of us, guess what we do? We take our family idols and we dress them up in our bed and put a goat's hair, the covering on it, to cover it up for our headpiece. And see, we cover our head when we have a family idol to start with, don't we? Don't we? If we have an idol, don't we know our head is covered? It's coming from the head to start with. And covered it with clothing. We dress it up to look the way we want it to look for deception, don't we? And when Saul sent those messengers, the carnal mind sent those messengers to take David, she said, "He's sick." No, he couldn't be a godly man. He was sick. And Saul sent the messengers to see David again, saying, "Bring him up to be on the bed that I may slay him." And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image. The word image here is the same as the word it was in the last few verses there, or in verse 13. The word image here is a teraphim. Did you ever hear the word teraphim, like seraphim and all those things in the scriptures? But the word is teraphim, and it means family idol. There was the family idol in the bed with a pillow of the she-goat's hair for his headpiece. And Saul said to Michael, "Why have you deceived me so and sent away my adversary?" Now notice this. The carnal mind has adversaries. It is an adversary of God, but it thinks it has an adversary in God, but God's not an adversary, is he? And Michael, the daughter of Saul, from the natural side, which is the soul, says, "Why have you deceived me so?" I'm going to tell you where you're always deceived. Your woman always deceives you. Your soulish side will always deceive you. She may tell you a half-truth, but she will never tell you total truth. You know why? She ain't got it. I can say ain't because I'm a hillbilly. She ain't got it. If she had it, then why would we need our man Christ? Hello? The human side. It will always deceive. If it doesn't need the man, then why would we have him? Right? And he said he was in a secret place, in the Holy of Holies within you. That he has escaped, and Michael answered Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'" In other words, she's saying, "I let him go because he was going to kill me." Do you really believe that? Well, guess what? Let me say something else. Let me take it to another realm. Remember what Jesus said? If you seek to save your soul, you'll lose it. But if you lose it, you'll save it. You think about it. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel, right? What does the word Samuel mean? Heard of God, or his name is God. He came to God, to Ramah. Ramah is the high place, a hill, the high place. And told him all that Saul had done to him. Wah-eh-eh-eh. Wah-eh-eh-eh-eh-eh. I don't know how you ever type that one up. See? He was still murmuring and complaining, but he went to the right place. Who did he talk to?
God.
He went to talk to God. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. You know what Naoth means? It's the residence of God. See, it's the place God dwells. Guess where that is? Inside of you, the Holy of Holies. Mount Zion, the Feast of Tabernacles, that highest realm. He focused right on God. I'd think you could say that. So that's where he went. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is in Naoth in Ramah." Hey, David's over here. Christ is over here in the high place with in the residence of God. David and God is getting along just fine. Samuel and David are just tight. Okay? And didn't Jesus say, "I and the Father are one"? Okay. And Saul sent messengers again to David. There comes that carnal mind talking to the mind of Christ, David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they prophesied also. Hello! No, we ain't going there. I want to show you something. In the presence of God, even the enemy turned to be your friend. They come to kill him. And what do? They turn to be just like him. You're the one that's going to change the world. The world is not going to change you. You're the one that encourages somebody when they come to give you down the road. You're the one that forgives them when they do you wrong. You got to be the example. So when you're in the presence of God, when you and God become one like David and Samuel did, guess what? They were in the high place, the place of worship of God, the Holy of Holies. And in that place, when anybody comes near you, the presence of God comes upon them also, and they'll be just like you in the presence of God. Paul even wrote and said, "Mark them that follow Christ and follow after them." Be just like they are. If they're following Christ, follow them. If they're not following Christ, don't follow them. Don't follow them because that's where the majority is going. Because wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. Narrow is the gate and broad is the way. Narrow is the gate and straight is the way it leads to life, and few there be that find it. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. There's Pentecost. Passover was the first experience. And Saul sent the messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Well, the carnal mind don't know what to do with all that. It don't know. I've been in that service too. And they went also, and then he went also to Ramah. He went to the high place. You know what? The natural Adamite, the Edomite, went to the high place, and he came to a great well. Literally, it's a cistern that's used for a prison. Okay? He went to a place that's used as a prison. Now, you know what a cistern is? It's a man-made hole in the ground, used, it's dug into the earth, used to store water. Guess what we are? We're earthen vessels designed to carry it, but we didn't say we were dug into the earth. Okay? We're outside the earth. We're the water pots designed to hold the water. And this great well, or this cistern, or prison, that is in Sichu. Sichu is a watchtower. In the natural, they had this prison down in the earth, and they had a tower so they could sit and watch over top of everything so people couldn't get out. Well, you know what? Inside of us is the cistern. And we got a watchtower over top of it called the carnal mind. And it wants to make sure that Christ don't come up out of that pit, out of that grave, just like he did on the resurrection day. He's coming out of everybody eventually. Some he has already resurrected, and some he's in the process of resurrecting now, and some he will resurrect before it's over with. Correct? He'll get all the realms in his time. But they're coming up out of the hole any way you look at it. And he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" Now, isn't this amazing that a man who was anointed king by God doesn't know where Samuel and David are. He doesn't know where Samuel, God, and the Christ really are. That's a perfect example of the natural man who goes to church or lives his life in this world and said, where is God? He's within you. There's why the world and the church world are so confused. They don't know where God is. They don't know where Samuel and David is. If they ever come to the understanding of where Samuel and David is, there won't be a problem any longer. He's within you. And when they say, yes, we know Jesus is within us and everything, and God, but someday He's coming back, that tells me they're just saying words. They don't know anything about the presence of God. They don't know God yet. They're just talking about there is a God. No intimacy, no inside knowing. Okay? And Saul sent the messengers a third time. There's your tabernacle's time. He come to there and he still don't know anything about them. And he said, where is David and Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth, right? Of Ramah. They're in the cistern. They're in the prison that has the watchtower. They're in a place where the carnal mind is watching over them in the natural. But in the spiritual, we have the mind of Christ watching over us, don't we? And didn't he say in Galatians, we're all under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, right? And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. He prophesied until he came there, didn't he? Sounds like Pentecost to me. Until he got there, until he come to the cistern, held the water, the word, in Ramah, the high place. And he stripped off his clothes also. Now here's the neat thing. When Saul, the natural mind, the natural man, finally makes it to Naoth and Ramah, he becomes the water vessel that holds the word in the high place, in the mind, okay? Guess what he did in verse 24? He immediately stripped off his covering. You know what that's saying? He stripped off all of his carnality and became real before God. We're not talking about becoming naked in the natural, because it really wasn't naked in the natural. He just stripped off his outer covering. But he made himself exposed in the presence of God, the man of God. And Samuel, his name, one of the meanings of his name is God. So he exposed himself in the presence of God. He was no more hiding, no more concealing his innermost thoughts. Does that make sense to you? You come to a place when you come into the presence of God that you no longer try to hide any of your most internal thoughts that you think nobody knows but you, because God already knows them. You just become open before Him. Got nothing to hide. See? That's why we can come in and sit on His lap and say, Father. See? Father, Father. Man. Let me go on with this. He stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel, prophesied before the Lord, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Not naked, but exposed. He was open before God. Wherefore they said, is Saul also a prophet? You know what? The natural man has no choice when it comes in the presence of God but to cave in or concede to what God desires for it. And when we come to that place, Jenny, just like you spoke earlier, that woman, God's in control. What choice do you have in your destiny? God has chosen it. Huh? Enjoy the ride. That's it. Just hang on. Put your seatbelt on, strap in, and take the ride. Because Father's the one producing the ride. Okay? How wonderful is that when we come to that place? Doesn't mean we'll never have another problem in our life. We just realize that it's not some devil kicking us in the teeth, but God is showing us who we really are and bringing us back to Him. Oh, sure, He knew it. He knew it was God. He just didn't want to submit to it in his pride. See, he was jealous of David.
That's just like the natural man. They were created
Yep.
And then they walk out and
go back to the flesh.
Right. And then all the while they still got the desire in their heart that they really want to be in the presence.
Oh, everyone wants to be, even though they won't admit it. Even though they won't admit it. But you all have to come to this place where you can strip yourself before God day and night and be just like Him. Know that God is in control of all things, not some things. Right? And if you find out that God's in control, that means I'm not. Right? So how can I change anything? Can you? See, if you can't change anything, then what's the frustration about? The only reason that there's frustration in anybody's life is because you don't like what the situation you're in and you think you can change it. You can be in the most devastating situation in the world, but if you know in your heart, I can't change this. The only thing about this situation can change me. Do you hear what I'm saying? It can change me. All you can do is strap in and enjoy the ride because Father has set it before you. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Do you know how many people it's going through life? It's raining on the just and the unjust today. Sunshine on the good and the evil, right? There's people that's going through the same situation you are with no understanding that this is God. They think some devil is doing it to them, and guess what? They're in hell in their mind. They're in hell in their mind. But you can be at peace when this comes along because you know this is going to bring a change into your life. You're not going to be the same when I come out of this test. I'll be a different person. I'll be more like Him. Wonderful thing.
When you get up from the presence of God, don't put your clothes back.
Nope, don't put your clothing back on. Just stay exposed before God. See, this is all an internal work. They don't even know. They think they're some devil. They think they did something wrong. They're in condemnation and guilt because that's what they've been trained in, the natural mind. They've been listening to those messengers from Saul that'll kill you. You hear me? Well, I'm done.